just heard that for the first time that I remember anyway this week. I guess probably it's been around for a while, but then for you to sing it here this morning, it really blesses my heart. God challenging me. I love Him more than things of this world. And if I don't, I need to. I need to. Amen. Stay close to Him. Stay close to Him. All right, we'll begin this morning in the book of Philippians. Philippians, chapter number 2. Again, visitors, thank you for being here today. And I do pray God meets every need that you may have this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. And begin reading in verse number 5. Verse number 5, okay? Are we ready? All right, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. This morning, I wish to draw your attention to the words there in verse number 8, where the Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was not just any death that he died. It was the death of an old rugged cross. And the Bible gives emphasis to that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, when it says, even the death of the cross. The wording in verse 8 gives the cross of Jesus Christ a special emphasis. When it says, even the death of the cross, his cross was a very special cross. A cross of sovereignty. What's going on, Brother Ray? If this thing's going to act up, just turn it off. Amen. The cross, it was a cross of sovereignty, if you will. It was a cross of God Almighty. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. It was a cross designed by God Almighty. It was a cross that was hung upon willingly. No man took his life. Jesus gave his life for your sins and for mine. It was a cross in extreme mockery. There, those Pharisees feared what the government might do underneath the leadership of Jesus Christ, so they sought reason and occasion that they might put him to death. And they mocked him throughout the whole ordeal, and it was a cross of substitution. It was a cross. Remember, they said, we can release a prisoner today, and they called for old Barabbas. And Barabbas came forward, no doubt. I believe that old Pilate sent for the worst criminal, the worst one in the prison there, and presented him to the Israelites, to the Jews. And they said, let Barabbas go and crucify Jesus. It was a cross of substitution, not only for himself, not only for Barabbas physically, but for you and I spiritually. Amen. He died on the cross, and he did not deserve to pay your sins debt and mine. I'm telling you, the cross of Jesus Christ was a very, very special cross. Today it seems that to every cross that people have crosses that are very, very fashionable. I know of people who don the walls of their homes with crosses. They collect crosses, if you will, though they themselves do not serve God in any way, shape, or form. I've seen them crosses, that is, dangling from rearview mirrors of automobiles. And boy, I've seen people that have them tattooed on their bodies. And boy, I've seen them painted in graffiti on the sides of buildings and on concrete walls along the freeways. And boy, you go off somewhere and you'll see up on a hill, somebody will set up a great big old cross at everybody. What am I saying? I'm recognizing that it is fashionable as well as widely acceptable to have and to display a cross. But when was the last time that you actually considered the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're admonished in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 3, to consider Him. Consider Him. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. We are to occasionally and often go to the cross and go to the work of Christ, that we can gather strength and see that godly example and revisit the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't think that His sufferings, when it comes, listen, beloved, when it comes to the sufferings of Jesus on the cross there, our Savior, it did not begin when the soldiers began driving the nails. No, sir. And no, ma'am. The Bible tells us that He was as a lamb slain from the foundations of the world in Revelation chapter number 13. It began, the slaying, the sufferings of the cross began in the very loving heart of an almighty God. Through the virgin womb of Mary, into a stable manger where He lay, all the way through His ministry, where it reeked of debaters and doubters and deniers, even by those of His closest, His closest friends. This, and through the betrayal of Judas and mock trials and false accusations, the smiting of the soldiers, the pulling out of the beard, the plaiting of the crowns and forcing upon His head, the mocking of the robe and the smiting Him in the face. All of these things make up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come to the nails being driven in. When's the last time you visited the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even the death of the cross. The Lord said Himself that we are to bear our cross. And His cross began before the foundations of the world. And He bore it faithfully, lovingly, all the way through, until He said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." When's the last time you visited the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? This was the cross of Jesus Christ. Not only a pivotal person, but a pivotal place on God's calendar of events. So listen, when it comes to the cross, I ask you the question, how should we respond to such a display of love and devotion? When you see the cross, when you consider the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, how should you respond? How should we respond to such a display of love and of devotion? Are we to carry on as if it was nothing? I don't think so. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is meant to be a life-changing event. I think about old Barabbas, how that when he was sent forth and was going to be crucified, was going to be put to death, and yet Jesus took his place. I cannot help but believe that life was something different to him from then on. Yeah. What made the difference? Jesus' cross that He bore for him. Are we to carry on as if it was nothing? I think not. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to bring a message. I want to bring a message from this thought when considering the cross of Jesus and all that He did for me. And all that He did for us, when considering that cross and His work on it, how are we to respond? How are we to respond? You know, I believe that one of the things that troubled the Lord before He went to Calvary, between that Palm Sunday, which I do believe was on a Sunday, and the days following there where He was troubled in His spirit, I believe one of the things that troubled Him was that His death on the cross could have been in vain. Not in the sense that He didn't know anyone would get saved, but in this very sense that there would be those that would not receive the work that He did there. Troubled Him in His spirit. And so there is a proper way. Listen, everybody will respond to the cross. Everyone will have a response. But these are the ways that I believe are the best ways to respond concerning Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary. Number one, when we consider the cross, number one, we ought to pursue Him. When we consider what He's done for us, it ought to provoke us to pursue Him. I think we ought to pursue Him like old Bartimaeus, when Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he knew Jesus was passing by. He was a blind man. And the folks around him said, listen, hold your peace. Hold your peace. But the Bible says he cried even louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He pursued after him for his sight. I believe we ought to pursue after him as Jairus did for his daughter's health. There she was lying, nigh unto death. And he went to find Jesus before the whole crowd of disciples and the Pharisees burst through the crowd and fell at his feet. Jesus, come and heal my daughter. And I tell you, brought him to her. And on the way, the word came that she is dead. And Jesus said, only believe, and she shall rise again. But he pursued after him. He pursued after him. He knew that that was his only hope. That was his only chance to see his daughter raised to life again. I believe we ought to pursue him like that woman with the issue of blood 12 years said, hey, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she did just that. She pursued him and was a benefactor of it. John chapter number 3 verse 14 says this. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? Because in John chapter number 12 verse number 32 the Bible says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The whole purpose of Calvary, the whole purpose of Jesus' cross, what that was, would be that sinful man would recognize their need of a Savior and recognize how much Jesus loved them and would respond in kind and pursue Him. How are we to respond when it comes to Calvary? How are we to respond when it comes to the work of Jesus Christ? We should pursue Him. Pursue Him. Come after Him. Recognize the work and come after the Lord. The very purpose of his cross, as I mentioned, is that sinful man would recognize his substitutionary work that was accomplished thus coming to him by faith. Listen, he invites you to come. Matthew chapter number 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your bosom. Rest to your souls. You shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus invites you to come as a result of that work on Calvary. There in the book of John, book of John chapter number 6, he says, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The very purpose of the cross of Jesus would be that we would come to him. Amen. That we'd pursue him. Oh my goodness, what an opportunity. Listen, we come to him realizing our loss. Realizing our loss. I put in my notes, we recognize that when we look upon Jesus, we realize the penalty of our sin. That God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the sufferings and the bloodshed and the mockery and the cruelty of it. Realizing that we deserve that, not him. Amen. Realizing our loss. Our loss. What we deserve. Our hopelessness. We come to him realizing our loss. Secondly, we come to him recognizing our limitation. Why? Acts chapter number 4 said there's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way but the cross of Jesus Christ. A lot of people died on the cross, but a lot of people weren't Jesus. Amen? And when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we not only recognize our loss, but in that work there we recognize our limitation. There is no other way. None other name, none other name, none other name. It's not about becoming a Baptist. There'll be enough Baptists in hell to hold a Bible conference. Amen? Because it's not about religion. It's about relation. It's about trusting Jesus Christ, coming to him as Messiah. It's not about getting baptized. You can get baptized in every baptistry in the whole world and be have your skin all wrinkled up like a prune. It's not about being baptized. It is about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his cross. There is no other way to have our sins forgiven. We realize our loss. We recognize our limitation. It is only through not only a cross, but through his cross, his death, his shed blood, his work. Not only realize our loss, recognize our limitation, but then receive his love. Father, forgive them. He said, for they know not what they do.
Oh, such love, the song says, such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love that God would love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this.
Right.
Receive His love. Another, and also I'm emphasizing, receive that love. He loved you. It's very, very key that you receive that love. The gospel must be received. The gospel must be received. When we consider the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died, even the death of the cross, we should pursue Him. Recognizing our loss, realizing our limitation, and then receiving His love. Beloved, it was not the soldiers. It was not the soldiers who nailed Him there, nor was it the nails that held Him there. The only thing powerful enough to hold that blessed Redeemer on that old rugged cross was the love, the amazing love He had for you and for me. That love. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Love is what held Him there. Love. Love. Let me ask you, have you been to Calvary? I didn't ask you, have you heard of it? I didn't ask you, have you read of it? I'm not asking you, have you told other people about it? I'm asking you, have you been to Calvary? Have you been there? The song says, I've traveled far around the world. I've never traveled far around the world. I've never seen the many thrills and sights unfurl. But I have taken the journey of journeys for me.
Whoa.
Up Calvary's mountain.
Yep.
There my Savior,
yeah,
to see. Amen.
Amen.
I've been to Calvary.
Whoa.
Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to Calvary? Have you witnessed the death of our Savior there on that old rugged cross? Realizing all that He did for you. Have you gone there by faith? Have you gone there by faith? I read as I was studying this particular, for this message here, Matthew chapter number 27. Here's these soldiers. They sat, the Bible says within, says, and sitting down, they watched Him there. And sitting down, they watched Him there. Oh, listen. That's not a very comfortable place to be. No, we'd rather be thinking of fun things in life. We'd rather be thinking of things that gather our attention for good and make us smile and laugh and have a good time. Beloved, you're going to have to realize more important things in this life to this flesh are not comfortable. And sometimes the best thing we can do is to find a place to sit at Calvary and watch Him there. Watch Him there. Now the way it paid off in Matthew chapter number 27 verse 54, it was those centurion soldiers. And the Bible says they said, truly this man was the Son of God. How'd they come to that conclusion? They watched Him. They watched Him there. Have you been to Calvary? What is the correct response? How should we respond when it comes to Calvary? The death of the cross. We all hear about the cross. Like I said, we got them maybe hanging up on our walls and all over our lives. We see them everywhere we go. But how should we respond to the cross of Jesus? Number one, pursue Him. Pursue Him. Pursue Him. That's the reason He died. Number two, let me say this. You ought to praise Him. You ought to praise Him. I think there's one thing lacking in our churches, and I hope it breaks up some of that here this morning. We ought to be a praising people for what God has done for us. We ought to be a praising people for what God has done for us. Over in Revelation chapter number 5, in Revelation chapter number 5, the Bible says, I'll begin reading verse number 6. He said, I beheld, Lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And the Bible says, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, notice this, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take of the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Hey, listen, we, of all the people in the world that have a reason to praise God, you and I have a reason. You and I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we sit back and go through the whole hum of life and church services and not put ourselves in a position of praise Him? Too worried about what somebody else thinks. You better get over that. You better get over that and learn to praise God. That's one of the ways that we respond to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only pursuing it, but praising Him. Listen, even the centurion there that was marked to put Him on that cross began to praise and glorify Him as the Son of the very God that created Him. David penned in Psalm chapter number 40, verse number 2. Listen to these words. The Bible says of David, said, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Didn't stop there. The next verse says, And He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm telling you, we are people that should be praising God for what He's done for us. Amen! Somebody say amen. Yes, say amen! Praise the Lord. I tell you, we ought to be a praising people because of what the Lord has done for us. Man, David said it there in verse number 8. He said, Listen, of all the people, beloved, you better believe that if you've come to Jesus by faith, you have indeed been lifted up out of a horrible pit and have been raised up out of the miriest of clays by the love of Almighty God. And you often don't even realize how much you've been saved from. You ought to praise God for that. Yes, David said, He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto His name. And we have every reason to praise Him. Psalm 107 says, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who are those? Those who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We're supposed to praise God. We're supposed to praise God. Amen. Help me out now this morning. Listen, somebody stand and shout, Amen. Amen. Somebody stand and shout, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and say, Praise the Lord. Praise hey, thank you for the blood. Hey, I didn't say sit down. Stand up. Stand up. If you stood up, stand up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. That's the way we're supposed to be. Don't sit down yet. We ain't done. We ain't done. Listen, I'll say something. I'll say something. You shout in response. Praise Him. Like for instance, when I say, for the cross that He bore.
Praise Him.
Amen. For the love that He showed.
Praise Him.
For the scourging that He took.
Praise
for the mocking that He endured.
Praise
for the forgiveness
Him.
That He extended.
Praise
for His mercies that are new every day.
Praise
for the grace that's bestowed upon every one of us.
Praise
the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Listen. Man, make it personal for the love that He showed to me. Praise Him.
Praise.
For the love He showed me. Praise Him.
Praise.
For the love that He extended to my family. Praise Him.
Praise.
For the love that He extended to my loved ones, my co-workers. Praise Him for that. He's worthy. He's worthy. Praise God. Listen, not only for the love, for forgiveness, for Him saving my old rotten soul. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're supposed to praise Him. We're supposed to praise Him. Amen. You can be seated. Listen, I think about praising Him out of Revelation chapter number 5. I see several ways to praise Him in Revelation chapter number 5. Look what old John did here. We see that John lays it out for us how they did. I think it's good things that we can learn from. Number one, we ought to praise Him personally.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't sit back. See, some of you sat down and let everybody else handle that part of it.
Yeah.
You so eat up with pride. You ought to be on the altar begging God's forgiveness because of pride, amen?
Right.
I'm not talking about those ladies who raise your hand and wave your hanky. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about those that looked around because you're fearing what somebody else might think of you.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You're supposed to praise Him.
Amen.
You're supposed to praise Him. You're created to praise Him. Here, we ought to praise Him personally. Verse number 8, the Bible says there, and when He had taken the book, the four beasts, notice that, four beasts, 420 elders, fell down before the Lamb, watch this, having every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one. We didn't leave it to somebody else. And you shouldn't leave it to somebody else to praise God either. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's stand up again. Let's try this one more time. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Thank God for salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm saying, I don't leave that to somebody else. Every one. Every one of them. Every one of them. There in John said there in verse number 13 said, and everybody in all these places heard I saying. Do we hear you saying it? Let me give you another chance. I say, praise God. Hallelujah. Look to your right, to your left, say, hey, y'all gonna have to excuse me for just a minute while I praise God. Hallelujah. Because we're called to praise God. Amen. You can be seen. We ought to praise Him personally. Everyone, every one of them, every individual one of them, praise God. Not only should we praise Him personally, but I see second, we ought to praise Him corporately. Corporately, that means all together, just like we practiced a moment ago. Verse number 9 says, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Thou hast slain and hast redeemed us. Notice the corporately used words, they and us to God, by the blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation. We understand that to be so. Verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All love them together. Praise God. Hey, we're not doing so. We don't have a praise team, amen. You are the team. And what you put out is how we praise God. You shouldn't sit back and leave that to somebody else. I'm against that. We have a choir. The only thing negative about having a choir is sometimes the congregation don't think they have to sing. That's wrong. That's wrong. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why? Because we've been redeemed. We've been saved. We've been brought up out of a horrible pit and pulled out of the miriest of clay and have a new song in our hearts. Even praise unto His name. I'm talking about praising God. What a praise Him personally. What a praise Him corporately. I like to say number 11. This will hair lip a lot of you. What a praise Him loudly. Loudly. Lifted up our voices and praising Him. David said, He put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praise to our God. He said, and all the world shall see it. And behold, amen. Everybody's going to know about it. Everybody's going to know about it. And everybody should know about it. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. If you find that you have a struggle when it comes to praising God, not only personally, corporately, but as well as loudly, you need to ask God to give you some help this morning. He's our God and He's worthy of any sort of inconvenience or some sort of fleshly embarrassment that we may fear. He is our God and worthy of it. Hallelujah. How do we respond to it? Hey, we respond to it by pursuing Him, and we respond to that cross by praising Him. Listen, it's just right there. Loudly, verse number 11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice. I love it. People say, preacher, you shouldn't get so loud. I got Bible on what I do. The Bible says with a loud voice. With a loud voice. And I'm telling you, he said there, they didn't just whine it out. They didn't just feel it in their heart. They didn't just think it in their minds. They didn't look around to see what the rest of the host was doing. I'm telling you, when it comes time to recognize what God had saved them from, you couldn't stop them if you tried to. The Bible says they shouted out with a loud voice, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom. And even John goes on to say, and they even heard I said, that whole multitude of people heard me above everybody else. I want to praise him, not only personally, not only corporately, but loudly.
Amen.
Well, the Lord knows my heart. I know the Lord knows your heart. I don't know your heart, though.
Yeah.
I want to hear you.
Amen.
Let's stand up one more time. Let's do this again.
Yeah.
Somebody say, praise God!
Praise God!
Thank the Lord!
Thank
Hallelujah!
God!
Glory to God!
Glory!
Thank you, Father!
Amen.
Right there. All right, you can be seated. Number four underneath this, I want to praise him not only personally, not only corporately, and not only loudly, but to praise him openly.
Amen.
Openly. Here, verse number 13, again, every creature which is in the heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying. How do you hear him? Because he not only did it personally, he not only praised him corporately, he not only praised him loudly, but he did it openly that all the world may know what God has done for them. They heard him saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. Why? Because he did that work on Calvary. Because he was slain from the... come out as a lamb that had been slain. That's my Savior. That's your Savior. How do we respond to that cross? Number one, we pursue him. Number two, we praise him. Grab your songbook. Turn to page number 167. I want to sing this. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Amen. Sing it out. Praise God. We've already embarrassed ourselves real good in front of our neighbors. Amen. Now it's time just to start singing, praising God. Amen. 168, if I'm not mistaken, that's the page. 167, thank you. 167. All right, how many are familiar with this song? Choir, I know you're familiar with it. Brother Ray, you guys, I know you guys are. Help me out. I want to hear it. I want to hear Brother Gary singing it from back there in the back pew. Amen, Brother Gary? Sing it out, brother. Sing it out. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Sing it out this morning.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall.
You this morning? Come on, sing it out. Hail him who saved you by his grace. And crown him Lord of all. Crown him Lord of all.
Hail him who saved you by his grace. And crown him Lord of all.
Verse 3.
Let every kindred.
That's every son and every daughter, every mother and every father, every grandfather and grandmother, majesty ascribed to him. Crown him Lord of all.
Crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribed, and crown him Lord of all.
Verse number 4, singing with that sacred throng.
Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. Oh, we'll join. and we'll crown him Lord of all.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for his grace. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads for invitation time. Father, I thank you for being my God. Thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for Calvary. Lord, I'm glad that you died for my sins, and I'm so thankful that by your Spirit you wooed me and drew me to that cross. And Lord, I pursued after my Savior and the work that he did for me. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved my soul. Now I've got a reason, a true reason to praise you. Lord, the world's going to be shouting and carrying on like the heathen that they are tonight around a stupid football game. And Lord, we've got much more reason to shout. And yet, Lord, we find it difficult to do so. I pray you help us tonight, to help us today, to be a people that are unashamedly and unapologetically praising our wonderful Savior and our God. Lord, your word says you inhabit the praises of Israel. I can't help but think that you inhabit the praises of your children as well. Lord, amen. Teach us to praise you and honor you, Lord God, with our hearts and with our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. As folks have already come to pray, what about you this morning? Amen. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you've never pursued Jesus and his death on the cross. You may be here this morning, you've never been born again. Let me beseech you and beg you, please. Please don't miss this opportunity to come to him by faith. It's time to stop playing the religious game. It's time to stop acting like a Christian, and it's time to truly get in and come to Jesus by faith. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I beg you to come. Just step out, move your neighbor, say, excuse me, I've got to go forward, and you come down. And maybe you're here this morning. And God's touched your heart concerning your praise and worship of him. Please. Whatever reason you find it difficult and you need God to help you break out of this, you feel it inside, you've got it in your heart, you feel it, you can hear it in your spiritual ears, but you just can't seem to break through. Why don't you come and ask God to help you this morning to be delivered from all the anxieties and all the things that would hinder your ability to boldly lift up your voice and praise him. That starts right here at an altar. Why don't you come this morning? Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Brother Chad, you sing for us. And folks, this is invitation time. You come. You come. Take advantage of God's blessed work in our hearts and lives.
Hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and we'll crown him Lord.
Christians praying, folks making decisions for the Lord. What about you this morning?
In Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Somebody say, I ain't never shouted for the Lord like I did this
Amen.
Morning. I hope this, I'm glad this was the first time, and I pray it won't be the last
yes.
time.
That's right.
We are to be
That's
a shouting
exactly
people.
Right.
We are to be a shouting
We got
people.
A reason. Amen.
God's word is very clear on that. God's people have something to shout about, and it is nothing but sinful pride that keeps us from doing so. Somebody say, man, Brother Brian, how'd you ever get like that? Well, I don't know. I came to Texas, amen, and I said, hey, this is the way I've been taught. This is what I've seen in the past.
That's
man,
right.
You get excited
amen.
For the Lord. It's not about what other people think. It's about what God thinks. It's about what the Lord thinks. And I'd have to see myself as fighting against the Holy Ghost of God if I'd ever feel a sense to praise Him and for some reason not do so. I've gone to churches where I've shouted amen. People looked at me like
yeah.
I was some sort of a, out of my
right.
mind.
Amen.
And I'm telling you right now, it's not me with the problem. It's them with the problem.
Say that again. Amen.
I got a reason to shout. And if they're saved, they've got a reason to shout. They've just learned to suppress it. I'm not suppressing it. Amen. I'm not suppressing it. I've gone even, you'd be surprised the type of people get involved in that kind of mess. I've gone to preacher's meetings where they say, now, we don't mind people praising the Lord. We just want to make sure it's the Holy. Why don't you just tie their hands spiritually and make them, in other words, they want the Spirit of God. I guess put them in a headlock and make them shout. Amen. Is that what you are? You want the Holy Ghost of God to twist you up and make you shout out, amen? That's foolish. You ought to want to praise God. God's not going to hinder you from praising Him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say it again. Let me hear this side say amen. Let me hear this side say amen.
Amen.
Let me hear it again. Oh, man, it's getting good. Listen, we're just starting.
Amen.
This way we ought to be, shouting,
yes,
praising
sir.
God. Glory to Him. Church, say, what'll other people think? I never considered what other people thought.
That's good.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm more worried about what God thinks. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got some folks getting ready for baptism. Y'all go ahead and be seated as we wait on them. Somebody praise God for something. Amen, Brother Russell. Amen. He's going to be loose here this morning. Praise the Lord.